Okay, everybody. Say, yeah, yesterday we were trying to conclude our discussion about a get that's written b'ksav yodai. So let's just be clear. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Gittin on Daf Peivav that a get that's written b'ksav yodai kashim in deraisa pasul in derabanan. Our Gemara cites it over here on Daf Gimel Mebeis. Rebbe Lazar disagrees and he holds that it's even kasher l'chachila midrabanan. But even the Tanakamo concedes that a get that's written b'ksav yodai is kasher. Midrash is only possible midrabanan, assuming that there are no witnesses who signed on the bottom. Obviously, if there are witnesses who signed on the bottom, it should be worse than the fact that he wrote it, that the husband wrote it. But it should be better that even if there are no witnesses, the fact that it's written b'ksav yodai makes it a get that's kosher min ha'tor. So the Gemara says, even according to Rav Meir, at least one view in the Gemara later on is that the first tan of this mission is Rabbi Meir. Even according to Rav Meir, who normally holds that Eide chasima karsi, that what causes, what's the operative ingredient of the get or shtar is the Eide chasima. And normally you have to have witnesses who sign on the bottom, they have to sign even lishma for the sake of this man and this woman in creating a divorce. That if the get is Rebbe Ksav Yodoy, then even Rabbi Meir would concede that the get is kashmir derai, it's only possible with Rabbanu. We have three explanations as to why that should be so. Now let's just be clear. This is not according to Rabbi Lazar. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's even kashmir. Not only midarais, it's kashmir derabanan too. The very fact that you gave it over in the presence of witnesses makes the get kosher, because according to Rabbi Lazar, Eidei Mesira Karsi. It's good to have the witnesses sign on the bottom of the Tikkun Olam so that the woman will always have proof that she's divorced, but the get is operative by virtue of the fact that it was handed over in the presence of witnesses. Not because necessarily, it was signed by witnesses. But the problem is, according to Rabbi Meir, who normally holds Eide Chasima Karsi, how do we explain this phenomenon that a get that's written b'ksav yodai is kosher even without witnesses who sign on the bottom? So we had three explanations within Rabbi Meir why that should be the case. Because we don't have a problem within Rabbi Meir, what's the pshat? So Tosfos said it's because the whole purpose of the witnesses on the bottom is to, verify that this is what the guy had in mind, that this, this is what he wanted to do. And if the guy wrote it himself, Ein l'cha chasima, g'day l'mizu. This is the best proof that this is what he wants, that this is what he had in mind. Even though the Shtar implicates and obligates him to divorce his wife, he wrote in his own hand. The whole thing is his own signature. And we know that that is his signature. It's Yoytze Mimakom Acher. So then, that substitutes in the place of Chasimus Hayidim. Rashi, later on, Peivav had two other explanations. One is, it's kind of like a Haydos Balding Kamei Hayidim Dami. The fact that the husband signed it himself is like he's being murdered. That he divorced his wife, and even though Hadas Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami, if I say something about myself, I'm believed more than 100 witnesses. Usually, doesn't apply to kiddushin because it's chav la'achrini. It affects others, and whenever my admission affects others, my admission is suspect. By get, that's not necessarily the case. It doesn't affect others. At least in a negative way, it affects them in a positive way, that it releases people from certain prohibitions. It doesn't create prohibitions, it doesn't affect them negatively. So it's not considered to be chav l'achrini, hodos baldin kamei edem dami might apply to a shtar gerushin. That's one pshat Rashi has, which is very similar to Tosfos, if we boil it down, right? Tosfos said it's because the chsimas habal, or the chsav yad of the baal, is like the chsimas ha'edem. Rashi, says it's no, it's because of hodos baldin kamei edem dami. A different halachic construct, but somewhat similar. Then Rashi quotes, no, it's not because of any of that. It's because of Exeris HaKosov that even Rabbi Meir has to be masking to. The Pashup Shat, even though Chazal or Rabbi Meir interpreted it somewhat differently, there's always, the Pashup Shat. Ein Mikra Yaitse Midei Pshutoi. The Gemara says in Masechtas Shabbos and Daf Yud Ches. I think Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, I was 18 years old until before he learned that Ein Mikra Yaitse Midei Pshutoi. 18, 60, I forget the Gemara. He was older than he would have thought. By the time he learned the rule, Ein Mikra Yaitse Midei Pshutoi. What do you see from that Gemara, by the way? That you shouldn't be teaching little kids Ein Mikra Yaitse Midei Pshutoi. Unfortunately, people have the Mahalach in teaching Chumash to little kids. First, let's teach them the Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah. Then we'll teach them what Chazal say. Then we'll teach them Rashi. But we should teach little kids to learn on a highly sophisticated level. First, interpret the Chumash on your own. Kids in the sixth grade, you interpret the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka however you would like. Oh, and then let's hear what Chazal have to say. No, that's not the way to do it. Not every sixth grader is Rav Hirsch. That's not the way you're supposed to learn Chumash, no. How are you supposed to learn Chumash? First, you teach them Chazal. You teach them Rashi. Later on, Rav Kahana says, I learned Ein Mikra Yaitzim Midei Pshutai. That's something, you know, that we taught later on. That's not, we don't teach children interpret Chumash based on your own, you know, conclusion, draw your own conclusions in the Chumash because Ein Mikra Yaitzim Midei Pshutai, you know, Pashup Shach. Then Chazal come later. No, Chazal is the first thing. That's the bread and butter. That's what we teach children. Some people don't like it because some of the Midrashim are a little fantastic. Some of the, you know, some of the Midrashim seem a little bit, you know, beyond reality. And maybe that's another discussion that educators have to have. Should we present Midrashim that are clearly allegorical as if it's Pshut Lashon Mikra? You know, because it makes people suspect of Chazal later on. It makes kids believe fantastical things. I happen to not be opposed to it. There's nothing wrong with a kid discovering that maybe it's not as simple as he thought when he was a kid. Arithmetic isn't as simple as you thought when you're in, you know, the seventh grade either. Right? Trigonometry is a lot more complicated than you're taught in the seventh grade, and that's okay. So two midrashim are more complicated than you would have thought. And the Adrab, it appeals to kids, these fantastical midrashim, you know. So I don't have a problem with it. Other people do have a problem with it, that we're preaching kids lies, because if the Medrash is allegorical, why are we teaching them that it's literal? They're going to say, well, what else is allegorical? Is Tefillin also allegorical? You know, so we have to be careful about that. But we should teach them Chazal. Whether we should teach them that it's allegorical or literal, even though they probably won't appreciate what that means, or not, Chazal is the bread and butter of educating children in Tanakh. Pshut Lashon Mikra comes later. But either way, coming back to Pshut Lashon Mikra is the cause of a Sefer Krisus v'nasa b'yada. You should write the get and give it to her. Who's writing the get and who's giving it to her? The same one who's giving it to her is the one who's writing it. That's the Baal. So if the Baal writes his own get, that for sure should be good. And even Rabbi Meir has to concede to that. Even though Rabbi Meir says v'kasa v'chasam is referring to the Chasim Saidim, doesn't matter. In the end of the day, Pshut Lashon Mikra is the husband can write his own get, and it sounds like it's good even without Eidim Musan on the bottom. So maybe it's Xeris Akasav. That because of a Sefer Grisus, Venosim Beyoda, that if the husband writes it on his own, he doesn't have any requirement for witnesses. Three explanations we had within Rabbi Meir why I get this, because Xav Yoda doesn't need Eidim to sign on the bottom. Within Rabbi Lass, we don't have a problem. Rabbi Lass holds Eidim Mesirah Karsi, the Iker is that you hand it over in front of witnesses. But according to Rabbi Meir, we have a problem. Why is he get the Xav Yoda? Okay. Three explanations in the Rishonim. So we began to suggest yesterday that in the name of Salvechik, because the Shefet has it in his Kuntras Hashtaris and Eretz Tzvi, that perhaps they're arguing about what is the nature of a shtar. We explain already, established hopefully, that a shtar is different than Eidos. Eidos is something that has to be verified in court. There's Drisha v'Chakira. A shtar is a written document, and Eidos can't be mitoch haksav. It's al pi shnayim edim or shlosha edim. It has to be mipihem, but go mipiksavim. They can't write down their testimony. A shtar is exactly that. A shtar is written, but it's not considered to be testimony. It's its own separate category of a shtar, and that itself, a document that has halachic standing, and it goes above, even though our witnesses, you know, it's typically who sign on the bottom, it goes above and beyond Eidos. It's its own entity that self-perpetuates, that testifies about itself, that it's kosher. And that's why Eid Maksum al-Shtak Mishra Nechver Yedusim Abezin Dami doesn't require Kiyo Midarayis, only Midarabanan, the whole thing we've established already. What is the definition of a shtar? Tosfos told us in Masechtas Ksuvos, and the Rambam seems to subscribe to this even in an extreme fashion, that what is the definition of a shtar is a document that's written Midas HaMeschayev, with the knowledge and consent of the one who is implicated and obligated by the shtar. Now it becomes a shtar and has a life of its own. The Rambam said only if it affects a change. Only a shtar kinyan is deraisa. A shtar raya that proves something that happened in the past is only midrabanan because there's no dasa mischayev. The shtar isn't causing and affecting the change. That's not called dasa mischayev. Dasa mischayev, though, is certainly the operative principle of what shtaras are all about. Right. However, there's two ways of understanding it, two ways of viewing it. In terms of what is the mechanism of the shtar. Is the shtar, in the language of Rav Soloveitchik, at least the way Rav Shechter quotes it, is the shtar Eidos b'chsav midas ha-mischayev, meaning is it testimony in a written document that was written with the consent and the acknowledgement and the permission of the das ha-mischayev, but it's really the Eidim who are speaking through the shtar? Or is the shtar araya b'chsav midas ha-mischayev? My interpretation of what that means is that it's the das ha-mischayev himself who's speaking through the shtar. How do we know that he's speaking through the shtar? So that, you know, you have witnesses that sign it or is handed over in the presence of witnesses. You know, we can speak about how that's accomplished, but what the mechanism of the shtar is raya b'chsav midas ha-mischayev. It's a raya to the fact that this is what the das ha-mischayev had in mind. But the one who's speaking, right, the narrator of the shtar, is not the Eidim necessarily, it's the das ha-mischayev himself. Just the shtar is a raya that this is what he had in mind. So is it a raya b'chsav midas mitzchayev, or is it edus b'chsav midas mitzchayev? So Tosfos here, within Rabbi Meir, seems to hold that what a shtar is a raya. And it could be this whole chakir only exists within Rabbi Meir. But Tosfos seems to be of the opinion within Rabbi Meir that ede chasima karsi, that even though normally you need witnesses to sign on the bottom, that's not because it's the witnesses who are speaking through the shtar. It's the Das Mischaif who's speaking through the shtar. It's Eidos Bechsav, I'm sorry, it's a Raya Bechsav Midas Mischaif. The Eidim are giving proof that this is what the Das Mischaif had in mind. That's why Tosfos says, if the guy wrote the shtar himself, if he wrote the shtar himself, that's the best Raya, that this is what he had in mind. It's his own John Hancock, his own signature. Of course that's what it should, you know, that would be good enough. Or Rashi. Rashi said, no, it's Hoidos Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami, which is a similar thing to what Tosfos said. Slightly different focus, you know, different Sif in Shulchan Aruch. But sounds like it's the same idea. That what is the purpose of the witness signing on the bottom is just to prove that this is what the Das Mischaif had in mind. If you could prove it in a different way, based on Hoidos Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami, because he wrote it Bixav Yadai. So again, Ein Lecha Chasima, G'day Lemizu, that is the best proof that this is what the Das Mischaif had in mind. However, Rashi in the second approach that says, no, this is Xeris HaKosav. The Kosav, Lasev, Akrisav, Vanasim, Yadav, the husband writes it himself, is certainly good. That sounds like the other explanations aren't good enough for that second view in Rashi. You know why? Because maybe what a shtar is about is Eidos Bichsav Midas Mischaif. Who's the one who's speaking through the shtar? Not the Das Mischaif himself, through Hodos Baldin or through his own signature. It's the Eidim. Therefore, you have to have Eidim. So that's why Rashi was boxed into a corner. Oh yeah, if you have to have Eidim, why is the Shabbos have Yodah good according to Rabbi Meir? It must be Xeris HaKosav. Because of a safer crisis, and also the other. We have no other way of explaining it. Rav Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi, again, it sounds like this is all from the Rav, suggests that perhaps this two perspectives is the basis for a Machlekes Rishonim that the Shach has over here in Simen Mem Vav. Look on the sheet from last time. The Shach Ozayin talks about Kiyum Sharis, right? That you have to verify the signatures on the bottom of the Shtar or Kosher, or the witnesses who they claim to be. And Kiyum Sharis is only the Rabbanon, that's what we said. So therefore, since Kiyum Sharis is only the Rabbanon, there's a Kula. Usually, when you're testifying about someone, they have to be there. I don't know in secular court if that's always true. You always have to be there for every litigation that involves you. Sometimes people are there, sometimes not, I don't know. But in halacha, you have to be there if they're testifying about you, because the pasuk says by shor hamud or something, behuad bivalav, that the shor has to be there when you're testifying about the shor. So you have to, when you're testifying about someone, you have to be present. What about kiyum shtaris? If we're verifying that these are the signatures of the witnesses, do the witnesses have to be present? Do the parties have to be present who the shtar, you know, relates to? Or can this be done even without their presence? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, this is what the Shach here is commenting upon, Mekayim in Ashtar afilu shelo b'fnei baldin. You can be Mekayim the shtar even if the parties, the litigants, are not present. That's an exception to the general rule of Eidos. Usually they have to be present. Here the baldin doesn't have to be present. Why? Says the Shach. Because near a dafka shtar, the cave and the kiyum shtar is the rabbanon. Because since kiyum shtar is only the rabbanon, the dvar Torah ha'ed maksumah shtar nasik mishnek redus mebezim midai raisa. The shtar verifies itself. The ain't tzarech kiyum. You don't need kiyum. It's only the midrabbanon. Midrabbanon who the tzarech hilchach mekayim shalav b'fnei baldin. So we're makel to do kiyum shtar is not in front of the baldin. Normally, when you testify to someone else, they have to be there. Here, they don't have to be there. So says the Shach, what will be about a shtar b'ksav yodoy? Is a shtar b'ksav yodoy a shtar? Or is a shtar b'ksav yodoy not a shtar? Is a shtar b'ksav yodoy a shtar? And we say, Eidim achasumah o'shar nasi mishnech reidus mebezin, so too if you wrote a b'ksav yodoy, the shtar verifies itself, perpetuates itself, protects itself. Or do we say a shtar b'ksav yodoy is not a shtar doy raisa? And doesn't have the same protections as a shtar midaraisa. Maybe the kiyum of the shtar, the shtar b'ksav yodoy, is deraisa. Because it's not a shtar in the first place. A shtar is only a shtar that has witnesses. Even though a shtar b'ksav yodoy can sometimes be effective, as hodas baldin kamei eidim dami. Or maybe it's exeris hakasav by a get that it works, because the pasuk says, because of a sefer krisis, v'nasim b'yodoy. When it comes to dine mamonis, is a shtar, the shtar b'ksav yodoy, with your signature, a shtar? In which case, Kiyum Shtar says only the Rabbanan, and you can be Mekel to be Mekayim the Shtar, not in front of the litigants. Or do we say it only works because of Hodas Baldin Kamei Edim Domi, but it's not a Shtar. It's not a Shtar that verifies itself. A Shtar has witnesses. And this doesn't have witnesses. So this is a big machlekes harishainim that the Shach quotes over here. The Shach says, V'chassim asiyat halay v'loy shaychi hanitami. If it's just written b'ksav yodoy of the party who's obligated by the Shtar, the one who borrows an IOU, he's got to be there. He's got to be there because this is not a shtar. Shtar is, you know, there's no witnesses. If all you have is this, the handwriting of the loive, an IOU, that requires kiyum midoy raisa. Blah, 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 blah. But then he says, No, three lines from the bottom. Miu kimeduma shenagul lahakel lekaim af ksav yav loive shaloive if they baldin. The minig is to be meiko. Why would the minig to be meiko? Because maybe a shtar ksav yav is a shtar. Is a shtar. How could it be a shtar? There's no witnesses who sign on the bottom. Maybe a shtar doesn't have to have witnesses. What is a shtar after all? What creates the cheft of a shtar? Dasa mischayev. Yeah, but does it have to be the Edim speaking with the permission of the Dasa mischayev? Or is it the Dasa mischayev themselves speaking? And we only need the Edim in order to prove that this is what the Dasa mischayev had in mind. But if we know this is what the Dasa mischayev had in mind because it's written by Ksav Yodol, so then of course it's a shtar. And the shtar verifies and perpetuates itself. So I say here, it seems to be this machlekes we shine the shach here reciting is a shtar b'dinei mominus where there's no gzeres hakosav because of a sefer krisus v'nasim biyada. That's what makes a get valid, but that wouldn't apply to a shtar b'dinei mominus. So is a shtar that's written b'ksav yodoy, which is good by the way because it's a haydos baldin k'me edim dami, but doesn't have a halach of a shtar. The shtar is a halach edim aksum l'shtar nasim yishenech we do some abezin the kiyum is only the rabbanon. So does that apply to ksav yodoy? So that's machlekes rishonim. Maybe what they're arguing about is what is the nature of a shtar? Is the nature of a shtar eidos b'ksav midas mischayev? Is the witness is speaking with the permission of the das mischayev? Or is it raya b'ksav midas mischayev? This is a raya to what the das mischayev had in mind. Ein l'cha raya v'doy l'mizu, the fact that he wrote it in his own handwriting. So that should also be a shtar. So they're arguing about, what is the definition of shtar? Yeah.
If you have shtar that was written by the das mischayev, but also sent by Aiden,
both. Yeah, both.
The Mishkayev goes against that shtar. He says he was, honest or something. He didn't want to write it.
He can't do that. That's the whole purpose of the aid.
Why not?
Verify the witnesses.
But if he's the one that is what the shtar
you can't
is,
do. Yeah, you can. You can't retract the eidos that's written in the shtar. Is Kamish Nechrei do some abezin? You want to change your testimony later? You can't do that.
Signatures in it, then he could.
He could claim mizuyev if we'll verify that this handwriting is his. No, we have your handwriting on file.
No, so like if he did it, then he's able to.
He can't retract if this handwriting. If it's forged, then it should be his handwriting. The fact that it's his handwriting shows that it's not forged. You'll say, but there's handwriting experts that can mimic your handwriting. Well, he was forced to do it. That's a sugya of a basra. A guy was forced to do a transaction that they don't want to do. A gun is to your head. They say buy this property. They say, I don't want to. They say do it anyway. That's a shy whether or not the sale is. It's a good time. No? Yeah, it's a whole sugya. Might be it is chal, might be it's not chal. It's a sugya the end of the baser. Rav Soloveitchik claimed that this was the two views that we had in Tosfos and Masechtas Ksuvos. We didn't pay attention to it at the time. We didn't focus on it at the time. But perhaps this is what's going on. If you remember, the Gemara said in Masechtas Ksuvos, you can't write down testimony, right? Testimony has to be remembered or conveyed bal peh. What if, though, I convey it bal peh, but my memory is jogged by something that I wrote down? My notes, that's okay, too. But if you only remember it from the notes, then it's no good. Then it's no good. So Taisus asks, well, how's it different than a shtar? The Edom aren't here. They might be dead already. Who remembers this testimony independently? It's only being conveyed in a shtar, in a written form. And yet a shtar is kosher. So Taisus says, how is a shtar kosher? What's the difference between a shtar and mipi and below mipi ksavim? So that's Tosfos' question over here. Ischasim timer v'hakafiu ein zezoich reklam mabekach. You have a shtar of a bezdin. Shtar is always valid in a bezdin. What's the difference between eidos b'ksav and a shtar? So Tosfos says v'yishloima. First answer in Tosfos is eidos b'ksav. That's puzzles when it's one witness. What is the definition of a shtar? Two witnesses. V'yishloima de'erecha b'shtar loy chashu shtar. So if you wrote down your own testimony, you don't remember it independently. That's no good because you only have one aid. What is a shtar? Two witnesses. who signed in the same document. Okay. Dumi, the Sefer Machna, like the Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel, describing the Sefer Machna, that there were two witnesses that signed. Then, Tosfos quotes the name of the Ri. Inami Oimeri, four lines down, in the middle of the line. The Eidechon Moyo Bishtar. No, maybe, you know what? The difference between Eidos Rusav, which is Pasuk, and Ashtar, which is Kashrut, is not that one is one witness and the other is two witnesses. Maybe one witness is also a star. If you have two shtaris, where one witness signs on both of them, you know, on each one together, that is good enough. Why then? What then is the difference between Eidos B'Ksav that's possible and the shtar which is kosher? A shtar is written midas mischayev. Eidos is written by a third party. How was that done? Okay. But Tosfos has two views. Can you have a shtar with an Eid Echad? One view in Tosfos is, even if it's written midas mischayev, Eid Echad is not a shtar. Eid Echad is not a shtar. Even if you have two shtaris, each one with their own Eid Echad, together saying the same thing, doesn't matter. A shtar needs two witnesses in order to be a shtar. The other view in Tosfos is that no, maybe one witness who signs on one document, the other witness who signs on the other document, together, both were written midas mischayev, together, join up to create a shtar. Maybe. And could collect dinei mamonos, even though no one here remembers the Eidos independently. That's not a violation. Because this is a shtar. So Tosfos has two views. Is Eidos, as a shtar, with one witness, considered to be a shtar or not? One view in Tosfos is, no, the part of the definition of a shtar is not only there was Rimi Das Maschai, but there has to be two witnesses there. The other view is, no, you can have one witness on two separate documents and still consider each one to be a shtar, as long as they're written Rimi Das Maschai. So here, if Salvechik suggested again, maybe what they're arguing about is this point. What is the mechanism of a shtar? Of course, it has to be written midas mischayev, but is it eidos b'chsav midas mischayev? Are the witnesses testifying? In which case, two witnesses have to sign the same shtar, otherwise we don't have two witnesses speaking, and that's part of the definition of a shtar. Or do we say, no, a shtar is a raya b'chsav midas mischayev. It's a raya that this is what the das mischayev had in mind. Two witnesses, even though they signed two separate documents, is a raya. That is a good raya. The two witnesses are saying the same thing. So it is a right what the Dasa Mischayev had in mind. The Dasa Mischayev is the one who's speaking, who's testifying, and here we have a proof that this is what the Dasa Mischayev had in mind. So again, Salvechik claimed that perhaps that was what was underlying the two views over here in Tosfos and Ksuvos. All right, Hebra. Move on. Yeah, okay. Got it. We're not done with shtaris yet. Swimming in shtaris. But anyway, let's just finish now the statement of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar said, even if you have a get that's written b'ksav yadai, a shah that's written b'ksav yadai, if it was handed over in the presence of witnesses, the shtar is valid. Rebbe Lazar, oimer afal pi she'ein alav edim, even though no one is to sign on the bottom, Rebbe Lazar holds edim asira kasher, so we pass on Rebbe Lazar, el shenasnu lav b'fnei edim kasher, as long as you gave it in front of witnesses, it's kasher. The goyva min a chasim mishubadim. We can collect from the chasim mishubadim. Mishubadim, what's a shibud? A shibud is an obligation. But here it means a loan, a lien. What do you mean a lien? A lien means that, everyone knows what a lien is, that if you take out a mortgage on your property, there's a lien on the property, which means if you sell the property, the bank, you know, and you default in your loan, the bank has the right to seize the property. Even if I sell it to one party, to another party, to another party, there's an outstanding lien on the property. The original creditor gets to take back, seize the property first before any subsequent sales. They trump all subsequent transactions related to this property. That's why when you buy a property today, there's what's known as a title search. You've ever, probably never engaged in these things. But if you do real estate transactions, you'll find that quite quickly. There's such a thing as a title search. There's title companies. Jews are very involved in this business, a big Jewish business, Yiddish Chikashev, title companies, and the whole thing. And what you do is you search for documents relating to this property to see if there's any outstanding liens against the property. Because if there is, then it's not a clean title, meaning someone could come and seize the property from you, which you never want that to happen. Yeah. So the same is true in Halacha. If there's a, you know, an outstanding lien on the property, they have the right to seize it, even though it was subsequently sold to another, you know, to a third party. Because it was a lien that predates it. So the goyva, well, let's say you established the original lien through a shtar that wasn't signed by witnesses, but was handed over in front of witnesses. So can you collect properties, miyad or lekuchos, from those who bought it subsequently? Yes, it establishes a lien, and you can collect it from lekuchos who bought it subsequently. Because according to Balazar, the only need for the Eidim to sign on the bottom is a Tikkun Olam to prove that there is this outstanding lien. But if the witnesses will come and testify that they witnessed the handing over of the Shtar, even though they didn't sign the Shtar creates a lien on the property. You could even collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. You could even collect from Lekuchas. Let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. V'goyim v'minachasim Mishubadim. What case are we talking about here? So that's two versions of Rashi. Are we talking about regular monetary documents or only the ksuba? So Tosi says, v'goyim v'minachasim Mishubadim. Goyim v'ksubasa beget zem v'minachasim Mishubadim. What is the ksuba? The ksuba outlines a financial payment that the husband has to make to his wife. First of all, it outlines the obligations of support. Husband has to support his wife. On the eflof, v'okir, v'ezon, v'efarnas, v'si, chilichi. Kilchus guven yudoin, like all good Jewish men, support your wife. And all that she needs. And there's a financial obligation if the marriage will dissolve. So, which is amounts to what? It's an amount of silver. Roughly corresponds to about $30,000. It depends on the price of silver. $30,000, something like that. The husband, when he signs the ksuba is usually signed at the chasen's tish. That's what they're doing at the chasen's tish. There's two things that are signed at the chasen's tish. One is a shtar tanoim. Shtar tanoim is an obligation the parents make to each other to go through with the wedding. You'll say that's a foregone conclusion. We're sitting here at the Marina Del Rey. We already hired the caterer. The band is playing. Everyone's in their tuxedos. What are we signing a shtar now to go through with the wedding? So you're right. Traditionally, this used to be signed a year in advance. Chassidim still signed it a year in advance, and there's a cherem that's built into the shtar tanoim. If you break the engagement, you should die. So that was the original cherem. Cherem is Osius Ramach, Ramach Evarim, that the curse should go into your Ramach Evarim and zap you. The cherem was so scary that Ramosha neutered the Shtar Tanoim. He got rid of all these charamim. So in our Shtar Tanoim, you won't find it. If you find a real Shtar Tanoim, certain circles, they use this, they sign it a year in advance in order to make sure that everyone goes through with the Shidduch. That's why they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it's better to marry and divorce rather than break a Shtar Tanoim, because a Shtar Tanoim has a curse. So better to get married and we don't do that anymore. We have broken engagements, unfortunately. That's better than getting married and getting divorced. But in the times of Vilna Gaon, they said that because of all the curses. So Rav Moshe said this isn't good. So there's a Shtar Tanoim, which we all use today, the Nusach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, I'm sure the others have done it today too, but in America we usually use the Nusach of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe took out all of the teeth from the Shtar Tanoim. Now it's a meaningless document. Basically says everybody loves each other and we're going to go through with the wedding, you know? What are the consequences if you don't? We don't talk about that. You can have a very serious din Torah. Let's say one of the parties backs out and we already booked the caterer, we already booked the hall, you put down deposits, what happens to all the money? What happens to the apartment? What happens to the furniture? What happens to all, had din Torah on these things, but anyway, so the first thing you sign is a Shtar Tanoim at the Chasen's Tish, which is again a meaningless document. It basically says the two parents agree to go through with the wedding. But we sign it anyway, and it's a big kibud. We make a kibud out of it to sign the Shtar Tanoim. That's the first thing that goes on at the Chasen's Tish. The next thing, and that's when they break the plate. That's why the two mothers come and break a plate. They're breaking a plate to symbolize the agreement between them to go through with the wedding. Why do we symbolize that by breaking a plate? When did that ever become a Jewish custom? Well, that's a good question. But that's the custom, is to break an item. Then, after that, we sign the ksuba. The ksuba is signed. Now, that's the obligation of the chasen to the kala. The shtar tanoim has nothing to do with the chasen necessarily. It's between the two fathers. There's no father between the mother and the father, whatever it is. The ksuba is the obligation of the husband to his wife. So that involves only the chasen. So the chasen should know what he's signing or what what he's obligating himself to. What he does is he picks up a pen or some other symbolic object that belongs to the rabbi or belongs to one of the Edom. The Edom witness him pick up the item, which is a symbolic gesture, in lieu of which he's obligating himself to all the obligations of the ksuba. And the witnesses sign the ksuba, which testifies that they witnessed him being Makabo Kenyan. Him being Makabo Kenyan to that which it says in the ksuba. That's why some don't fill in the word vikanina in the ksuba until it's already done. Usually we use printed text of the ksuba, which I printed out before without some of the details of the chasen kala's name and whatever. We use a form, it's a boilerplate, you know. And there's a blank line usually for Vikanina. Vikanina means, and the chasin was Makabu Kinyan. So some people are opposed to writing it before it actually happened. Most of our people are okay. In our circles, we're okay with that. We could write Vikanina in before. What that means is the witnesses saw that the chasin was Makabu Kinyan. He picked this up. In lieu of picking up the pen, he obligates himself to the obligation to the ksuba. So the chasin should really understand what it says in the ksuba. A lot of times you have chasanim who are not lamdanim. They never learned in yeshiva. And they would go, here you go. And he doesn't understand what he's doing. So the witnesses saw him pick up a pen. How do they know that he knows what that means? So it says in the Sfarim that you're supposed to explain to the chasin in front of the witnesses so that the witnesses know that the chasin understands what the ksuba obligates him to do. And he should know roughly how much the ksuba is worth. The ksuba is worth about $30,000, $40,000, something like that. Which is a lump sum payment if the marriage, Leilin, will dissolve, yeah?
That's only negatively affecting the Baal, though.
Yeah, so that's why the husband is the only one who's Makabel Kinyan. It has nothing to do with the wife. She's the beneficiary, but she's not obligating herself on anything. So the wife isn't even there, usually. That's why the chasin's tish is the chasin's tish. Somewhere
else. Why
do you
need him for that? It's just
because you need a raya. She needs to prove later on in court that he obligated himself to this. So you have to have witnesses sign in the bottom. Maksuba is your classic shtar raya. Shtar raya. Yeah.
This is shtar raya that made it for Sima Karki. Why does it matter if he wrote the Kinyan thing and
We'll get up to it. It's a tesis over here. We'll get up to that. Because otherwise it looks like you're lying. You said he picked up a pen. He didn't pick up a pen. Yeah, but no one signed it yet, so who cares? I think that's why we're lenient. We'll have to explain. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Anyway, so he's obligating himself, by virtue of this, by doing so. By virtue of picking up the pen. So the ksuba has a financial obligation. So what does it mean? Goyvim min achasim mishubadim. So now, the husband's estate has a lien on it. So the wife, let's say he subsequently sold his properties. When they got married, he had a huge trust fund. Then it matured and he gambled it all away in Vegas. So, or he sold it to somebody else to gamble away in Vegas. So goyvim ksuba, so beged zeh. She could go and collect from the Lukuchites because she is a previously, a prior dated lien, and she could collect from those properties, which is at the time. The Stambek Suba is Hoytzi, Ged Ve'eni Moksuba, Goyvek Subasa. So what is the Goyvek Minachas Mishubadim referring to? Only a Ksuba, which is related to the Get. If the Get will be delivered, the husband will have to pay the Ksuba. What are we collecting? Minachas Mishubadim, we're collecting the Ksuba. Lishna Achrina, says Rashi. Goyvim minachas mishubadim im shtar milvu. We're talking about a loan document. Goyvim minachas mishubadim shtar choyv nami kari get. Because the shtar choyv is also called a get. The whole parak in Masechet Baba Basra called get pashut. It has nothing to do with getting. It has to do with shtaris. A shtar is called a get. Stam get is a get isha. That's what the first taisis in Masechet is getting explained. Stam get is get isha because it's get is gematria 12. 12 lines in the get. So stam get is get isha, but a get can refer to any shtar. So maybe goyim minachas mishubadim is talking about a shtar choiv. A shtar choiv. A regular shtar choiv. And Rabbi Meir holds by a regular shtar choiv, IOU, or a loan document. There too, Eidim Mesira Karsi. There too, Eidim Mesira Karsi. So one view in Rashi is Eidim Mesira Karsi only applies to the get. The other view in Rashi is, no, Eidim Mesira Karsi, the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, applies not only to the get, applies to every shtar choiv, every shtar halva.
Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar?
Huh?
Rabbi Meir?
The view of Rabbi Lazar would apply both to a shtar, like a get, as well as to a shtar choiv. That's the second view in Rashi. The first view in Rashi is, no, Rabbi Lazar's Shita, that as long as you hand it over in front of witnesses, that's okay, even though there are no witnesses signed the shtar, only applies to a get. It wouldn't apply to a shtar choiv. It wouldn't apply to a shtar halva. So then you would have to sign the Shtar Halva. If the Shtar Halva has no signatures, the mortgage document has no signatures, it would be puzzle. Or the second view of Rashi is, no, maybe Rebbe Loza said his Shita by a Shtar Chayv too, and as long as it was handed over in front of witnesses, and you can prove it was handed over in front of witnesses, even though no one signed the Shtar, it's still good. Tosfos takes sides over here in these two views of Rashi. Look at Tosfos. Lashon Sheni Perish Bekuntres Im Shtar Milvehu Goyvim Minachas Mishubadim. It's not only applies to get, it applies to a Shtar Milveh too, a loan document. The Chaynir of the Rabbeinu Tam Iker, that Lashon appeals to Rabbeinu Tam. The Afil B'Shtar Shtaris, even by other Shtaris that are not a get, Goyve Be'edim Mesira Minachasim Mishubadim. You could collect from properties that were already sold because you have a prior lien, even though all you had was Edim Mesira. Kidamash Perek Basra, as Gemara implies later on in Masechtas Gittin. We mentioned earlier that this Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Elazar appears later on in connection with this mission, the site over here in our daf. And the Gemara there cites and Peivam and Mebez. The halacha follows Rav Elazar. If you look at Peivam and Mebez, there's the two dots right in the middle of the page. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav halacha Rav Elazar begitin. Ki Amisa Kameh de Shmuel, Amar, when they told this statement of Rav over to Shmuel, that we pass like Rav Elazar begitin, he said, Af b'shtaris. So too with regards to other shtaris, we pass like Rav Elazar. V'Rav Savar, Rav holds, b'shtaris lo. We don't pass like Rav Elazar b'shtaris, meaning that are not a get, like a shtar hava. But the Gemara asks, Hakatani. But 1 minute, it says in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar holds, if you just had a mesiva, it's good enough. V'goyev amina chasim yishubavim. You collect from properties that were, even though they were already sold. Rav Elazar Tarti Yomar. You're right, Rav Elazar is talking about Shah Shtaris. He's also talking about a get. Rav, Sarek, Havasa Bechada, Pogle Bechada. Rav holds like him by get. He doesn't hold like him by Shah Shtaris. Says Taisis, Mefarish Gemara. The Rav Elazar said his view, not only with regards to get, but even with regards to Shah Shtaris. Even with regards to a Shtar Chayv. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara too. So Taisis has a proof. The Rav Elazar said his view, even by Shah Shtaris. So let's read the proof. Because the master parak basra, daba Rav alok Rav Elazar begin b'shar shtaris loy. According to Rav, alok is like Rav Elazar begin and not by shtar shtaris. V'alkatani v'goyim min chasim mishubadim. It says over here in the Mishnah, v'goyim min chasim mishubadim. Umaisi alma the Rav Elazar ari not b'shar shtaris. It must be Rav Elazar is even talking about a shtar chayv or a shtar hava. V'kasha but as taisvis darminim beget pasha. The problem is we have a problem and the Gemara himself is baba basra. Everybody say, look at the sheet from today. Gemara baba basra says the Gemara baba basra. Where are we? Boy mine Rabba May Rab Nosin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines down in Ois Aleph. We'll get back to the beginning of Ois Aleph in a minute. Boy mine Rabba May Bar Nosin May Rab Yochanan. Hooks a Ksavyoda Babez Din Mai. Let's say it's a Shtar that should be Ksavyoda, and everyone knows that this is his Ksavyoda. We have it on fire with the Bez Din Mai. Amalei Afa Pisha Hooks a Ksavyoda Babez Din Eino Goyva Min Chasim Min Echirin. Even though you're Ksavyoda, is Yoitz Bebezdin, you can only connect from Bnei Chayrin. What are Bnei Chayrin free? What is it, like the Hefker table? By, you know, the front of the base medrash? No. Free means it's not spoken for. It hasn't been sold. So let's say, Rabbi, say you have money in your bank account. That's what we call Bnei Chayrin. That's Bnei Chayrin. Money in your bank account is Bnei Chayrin. It's not spoken for. Mishubad means you sold it already with a lien on it. So if it's a milveh b'shtar, which we'll get to in a second, if there's a document that's associated with the halva, you can collect from the chasim mishubadim. If there's no shtar, you can only collect from b'nei chayrin. You cannot collect from the chasim mishubadim. A milveh al peh. I obligate myself to you without a written document supporting it. All you collect from is b'nei chayrin. If there's a milveh b'shtar, you collect even from the chasim mishubadim. We're going to explain that away in a second. So let's say it's written b'ksav yodoy. Is that called a milveh b'shtar? Or is that called a milveh al peh? No witnesses signed on the shtar, but I wrote it myself. Is that called a milveh b'shtar, or is that called a milveh al peh? If it's a milveh b'shtar, collect from the chasim mishubadim. It's a milveh al peh, only from Bnei Charin. So Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Shloish Agita, the Gemara there cites our Mishnah, that a get that's written b'ksav yodoy is a good get. Don't you see, a shtar b'ksav yodoy is a good shtar? And Rabbi Elazar, Aymer, Afal Pi, Shein Olav Eidim, Al Shunasno, B'fnei Eidim Kosher, V'goyvim, Min HaChasim Mishubadim. Oh, so even though it's not a good get midoy rice, it is good midoy. It's not a good get midoy rabbanon, it's good midoy rice. And Rabbi Elazar holds us that even good midoy rabbanon and goyve min achasim mishubadim, you can collect from the achasim mishubadim because it was written b'ksav yad of the husband. That's good enough. As long as it was handed over in the presence of witnesses, goyve min achasim mishubadim. You see, it's a milveh b'shtar. It collects even from properties that were sold. Says the Gemara, shiny hasam d'mishas ksiva hu d'shibe nafshe. That's different because at the time of the writing, he obligated himself. What does that mean? What does that mean? Two girsos in that Gemara, Chevra, and two explanations. Look in the Rashbam. Rashbam says, Shiny hasam de b'shas ksiva hu deshibe nafshe. At the time of the writing of the shtar, he obligated himself. Says the Rashbam, Kishenichtav ha-shtar, Nichtav kedei lamaser bifnei edim. At the time of the writing of the ksar, b'ksav yodo, you intended to give it over in the presence of witnesses. Shu edim mesira, b'mokam edim chsima. The edim mesira work in the presence of the edim chsima. Then, a shtar, b'ksav yodo, is considered to be a shtar, and you're going to custom mishubadim. Hilka, kevin, the rabbalaz, edim mesira karsi, ki u nichtamu, b'sach hashtar, it's as if they signed on the shtar, and it would collect them in the chasm shubadim. About anu mi ba'ilah, and the whole shayla in the gemara there in Baba Basra, as a shtar, b'ksav yodo, that was not handed over in the presence of witnesses. It's just an IOU that you wrote down. That has the name of the loiver, and it's in his handwriting. He gave it to him as an IOU, right? Sometimes he gives you an IOU instead of saying IOU verbally. In order to show him that he's serious about that, what he's saying. He can't say, I paid you, because the guy still has the IOU in his hand. So it's in order to prevent him from lying and saying he paid him already. Can that collecto from Nechazim and Shubadim? Is that a shtar? That's what the Gemara has a shayla about.
There's another gear, so. I don't know. I thought I gave you the other Rashbam too.
That's one gear, so. And according to this gear, so, it sounds like Rabbi Lazar said his shita, that as long as you hand it over a shtar in front of witnesses, you can collect from nechasim mishubadim, not only by a get and a ksuba, but even b'shar shtars, even by other shtars. However, there's another girsa here in this gemara. Not mishas ksiva hu deshi be'navshe, but mishas ksuba hu deshi be'navshe. And the whole sheet of Rabbi Lazar is only by a get with a ksuba. That's a different kind of a shtar, maybe, than a shtar halva. Maybe you only said it by a get. Ksuba. So look back at our Tosis Vakasha. Darmini beget poshet. Huk the ksavyodo bebezdin. A shah the sun beksavyodo. Is that considered to be a milva b'shah collects from the chashm shubadim or not? Mahu perish mahu shiyigba mishabdi. Umayz mehach the gin. The Gemara there brings our Mishnah from later on in the sect is gin. The katani vegoyim in the chashm shubadim and mishayni shayni hasam the ika ksuba. It's different because there's a ksuba. Mashma the dafka beget ayri v'loy b'shar shtaris. Maybe it's only by a get and not by other shtaris. Rashbam garas hasim. The Rashbam is the gears, we just read it. Dimishas ksiba. Ksiva shibe nafshe. No, it means from the time of the writing of the shtar, you mishabit yourself because you intended to get over it in the presence of witnesses. Then the shtar b'ksav yodo is good. According to Rabbi Lazar, collect from mishubadim. So then, this would work out with our gemara later on. The Rabbi Lazar said a sheet of him b'shar shtaris. But there's a girsa later on, there's a girsa in that Gemara Baba Basra that was only by Gat and Ksuba. So Rabbi said, what emerges is two views. It's two views in Rashi. Tosfos likes the view that it goes Bashar Shtaris, but it's two girsos in the Gemara Baba Basra. When did Rabbi Lazar say Hishita? When did Rabbi Lazar say that Eidim Masira Karsi is good enough to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim? Is that only by Gat and Ksuba? It creates a lien, and you collect some properties even though it was sold after the obligation was created? Or was it only by get and exuba? Is it also by shayla shtaris or only by get and exuba? So here again, this is all in the kuntras hashtaris. Mamish the goyness of Salvechik. But Salvechik here explained that what they're arguing about is what is the nature of a shtar hava. If you remember, we established, hopefully, that not only the definition of a shtar, the definition of a shtar is a document that's written midas mischayev. Either Eidus v'ksav midas mischayev, Rai v'ksav midas mischayev, whatever appeals to you more. But there's a machlekes in Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir as to what makes the shtar effective. Is it the Eide Mesira? Is it the Eide Chasima? What are they arguing about? We already explained. So Vichik explained that what they're arguing about is what makes the shtar effective. According to Rabbi Meir, we cleared. Is it Raya B'Ksav Midas Mischayev? Is it Eidus B'Ksav Midas Mischayev? But either way, it's either Eidus or Raya B'Ksav Midas Mischayev. According to Rabbi Lazar, no, that's not what it is at all. It's the story of what took place that was handed over in the presence of witnesses. There's no Raya, there's no Eidus in the shtar, no Eidim are signing the shtar. It's the Sipur Dvarim that's handed over in the presence of witnesses. So we established, hopefully in the past already, that the whole machlokes in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar is only by shtar kinyan. Tosfos had it later on, chabezim and beis, chabezim and aleph. But by a shtar raya, if you want to prove that something took place, even Rabbi Lazar would have to concede to Rabbi Meir that you need Eidim to sign on the bottom. who's speaking through the Edom? Is it the Edom or is it the Das Mischayev who's speaking? We can clear about, right? But you need Edom to sign on the bottom. The whole sheet of Rabbi Elazar is only by Ashtar Kinyan, not by Ashtar Raya. And the Shaila was, what triggers the Kinyan? What triggers the change? What affects the change? The fact that it was handed over in front of witnesses or the fact that it was signed by witnesses? Does the Raya cause the change or does the fact that it was handed over in the presence of witnesses cause the change? That's Machlokes, Rameir, Rabbi Elazar. But when you're talking about Ashtar Raya, everyone would concede to Rameir, Rabbi Elazar would concede to Rameir that of course the Ikar is the witnesses who sign on the bottom. You can't have a Raya, you can't have proof without witnesses who sign on the bottom. So it could be that what the two views over here in Rashi are arguing about is Ashtar Halva, Ashtar Raya or Ashtar Kinyan? Let's explain. Let's take a step back. Rewind. We got ahead of ourselves. The Gemara says over here, Mesechta Baba Basra, the following, a Mishnah. We set it over, but let's see it inside. There's a difference between a milva bishtar and a milva baal peh. Hamalves chaveru bishtar, if you lend someone with a shtar, goyvim in a chasim shubadim, that establishes a lien, and if it was subsequently sold, you could seize it from the kupais. Al yedei edim, if there were witnesses there, but no shtar, all you can collect from is the money that he has in his bank account. You can't, there's no lien on the property. So Amar Ula, look in the middle of the second line. Dvar Torah, have you ever heard the machlekes Shibuda Deiraisa, Shibuda Lav Deiraisa? That's right here. What does Shibuda Deiraisa, Shibuda Lav Deiraisa refer to? So Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, Mi Deiraisa, both should collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. This distinction between a milva bishtar that collects from the chasim shubadim, the milva baal peh that doesn't, is clearly only midrabanan. The shaila is in the Gemara whether shibuda deraisa shibuda lav deraisa is what was the din midrabanan? Was the din midrabanan that all loans should collect from the chasim shubadim, or was the din midrabanan that no loan should collect from the chasim shubadim? There's no such thing as a lien. Should every loan establish a lien? Bein b'shtar, bein baal peh, or should no loan establish a lien? Bein b'shtar, bein baal peh. That's the machlokes in the Gemara. Shibuda deiraisa, shibuda lav deiraisa. Is liens deiraisa? Is a lien not deiraisa? No distinction between b'shtar and baal peh. That is clearly only midrabanan. Why did they make that distinction midrabanan? So they made that distinction midrabanan for the following reason. That according to those who hold there is no liens midrabanan, shibuda lav deiraisa, they established a lien with regards to shtaris, you know, milva bishtar, in order to protect the bank. No bank would issue a loan if you could only collect from b'nei chayrin, from the money that the guy has in the bank account. You know why? People are smart. What will they do? They'll divest themselves of their assets and then declare bankruptcy. You'll tell me he'll declare bankruptcy, he'll never get another credit card again. Okay, good, shkayach, but didn't have credit cards. No credit score. It was before Equifax. So I'll declare bankruptcy. I have nothing. You know what the best time in Beis Din, Rabbi Isaiah, is? If you've ever, you should never know from Beis Din. The best time in Beis Din? Ainly. I have nothing. What are you going to do now? You might be right from here till tomorrow. The guy has no assets. What are you going to do? Ainly. So the guy will say, Ainly. So the bank's not going to be protected. So what does the bank insist on? A lien. The bank wants a lien. So they make a lien, it protects, and if the bank won't lend money, no one's going to be able to, won't have credit. There's no credit market, the whole economy falls apart. So in order so people should be able to get loans, we establish liens. Why not do it by milva baal peh? The answer is because then no one can buy properties. Right? You'll never buy a property because maybe there's a hidden lien on it. I don't know about it. So it has to be something that islay kala. Something that people know about, documents people know about that get filed with the city clerk. So they establish liens to protect the credit markets. But they say the dulukuchos, in order so people should be able to buy a property and not be flying blind into a lien, they said it's only by milva bishtar, not by milva baal peh. So in order to protect the economy, they establish liens only by milva bishtar in order to protect the real estate market. So the distinction is only midrabanan. But that's the distinction. Milva Bishtar collects from Mishubadim. Milva Al Peh does not. What's the Ikar over here? You know? Why is Milva Bishtar different? Because Milva Bishtar is like Kala. Everybody knows about it. So the two days over here in Rashi, and Tosfos is debating as well, would Rabbi Elazar hold that a shtar that's given over be'edei mesira without edei chasima enables you to collect from Mishubadim is a shtar? Is that called a milva b'shtar or not? If it's a milva b'shtar, the fact it was handed over in front of edei mesira, it could collect from Mishubadim. If it's not a milva b'shtar, the fact that it was handed over in front of edei mesira, then it cannot collect from Mishubadim. So it depends. Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, is edei mesira karsa, edei chasima, what establishes a shtar, what doesn't establish a shtar? Rabbi Chanan asked in the Kovitz Biurim over here a very compelling question. Well, it only depends whether it's like or it's like. Do you file with the city clerk? Do you not file with the city clerk? Who cares about the Machlokes or Mayor Rabbi Elazar's halacha and shtaris? That's a din d'oraisa, the mesira karsi, the chasima karsi. What's the effective ingredient of a shtar? This depends on what's filed with the city. It's a din min d'rabbanan. Well, you know, whether people know about it. If people know about it, then it should be considered a mobile shtar and collecting mishubadim. If people don't know about it, then, in order to protect, they shall, you know, they say the kuchais, then it's not a milva b'shtar, it's a milva b'alpeh. So it must be, Rabbi Chanan doesn't give you an answer, but it must be that we say, look, we treat the din d'rabbanan like the din d'oraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanan kein d'oraisa. Tikkun everything chazal shabbos, they shabbos along the lines of a din d'oraisa. So we revert back to the din d'oraisa of what's called a milva b'shtar, what's called a milva b'alpeh. We don't make these kinds of distinctions, whether islay kala, leslay kala. That was the reason for Chazal's distinction, but what that distinction is in the books, it depends whether it's a shtar or not a shtar. So according to Rabbi Elazar, if Eid Mesira Karsi, can you establish a shtar hava that can collect from Yishubadim and call it a milva b'shtar with Eid Mesira alone? That's the two opinions over here. Maybe it is called a milva b'shtar and can't collect from Yishubadim, maybe it's not called a milva b'shtar and cannot collect from Yishubadim. So we have to explain what they're arguing about. And then we'll see. This is so nogea, by the way. If this sounds theoretical to you, it's about to crash into your face, Lamaisa. You'll say, where does this ever come up? It comes up all the time. Now, for those engaged in business, if you sit in the basement, just learn, it doesn't come up.